Reformed Church.
When you think about, you know, present circumstances or things that happen to you right now, the thought that I was having was how that compares to the glory of God that we have on the inside of us. And obviously the thing there is that the Lord teaches us not to be earthly minded. But the reason for that is that everything you see earthly is temporal, but that innately means that it's subject to change, right? If it's temporal, it's subject to change. But to be mindful of heavenly things, which obviously are eternal and not subject to change ever and remain the same, so it's just for our sense of security, for the things that we can count on, for a visual of really who we are, right? We look to the things that the Lord wants us to keep looking at. And when you really then, if you were really to compare, you say, okay, I'm looking at the heavenly things. I'm looking at the glory of God that I have on the inside of me, the glory that the Lord has shared with me that is now my glory. It's his glory, but it's also our glory, right? We have been made glorious, so that means we are glorious, right? I think Scripture even calls us the glorious ones, right, in referring to believers. So when you, if you were to compare that to any circumstance that's going on for you any time of the day and anything that's stressing you out or whatever, and sometimes it's really not a big deal, it's just that it's a big deal for us in the specific moment in time that you're thinking about it or something's going on with it. But if you were to compare any circumstance with the how glorious that you've been made, actually what Scripture says is that it's not even comparable. I think most translations, and I'll read it to you in a second if we can, out of Romans 8 says that I think it's Romans 8 or 1 Corinthians, but it says that it's not worthy to be compared, but actually the appropriate translation is that it's not comparable. Like, you can't compare the glory of God that you have on the inside of you that is unchanging. It's really showing you who you are and who you've been made and the authority that God has given you and the inheritance that you possess compared to something that's happening to you that is completely and utterly subject to complete change, like to turn on a dime, like whatever is going on right now, in a second, it could be totally going differently. You know, so I'll read both verses to you, but it's just a really cool reminder when you think about whatever it is that's happening throughout your day and that you really look at it through the lens of what you possess and who you are. And that could be, you know, it's an interesting thing. You know, there are people, and right now in my life, from what I can tell, there's only a few people that fit into that category, but there are a few people that really just do not like me. I mean, just, like, can't even, it just, like, sometimes when I talk to them, it's like they can't even stand the sight of me. But it's like, you know, it doesn't move me, like, so, or whatever. Actually, right now I can only think of one, but maybe it's two, but you know, and it's just an interesting thing. Like, when you recognize, like, when you know who you are, you know who the Lord has made you, does the opinion really of someone that doesn't know you and can't know you, like, what weight does that opinion carry? Like, what should that mean to you? It shouldn't mean anything to you, right? Because they don't know who you are, so therefore anything that they could ever think about you is erroneous because they don't even understand who you are, right? So when you think about that, whether it be a person, you know, and you compare that to the glory that God has given you, to really who you are, how glorious the Lord has made you, or if you compare that, you know, you think about someone at your job that, you know, a boss maybe that is judging you incorrectly, that doesn't understand how hard you've been working, doesn't appreciate you, you know, doesn't pay your worth, whatever it is, whether it be, you know, a spouse that somebody has or any situation that you're going through, something that's stressing you out. Like, when you, if in those moments continually, right, if we continue in the truth and we just allow the Lord to remind us of who we are and we set our eyes on eternal things, right? That, because there is a glory of earthly things, right? And I think translations mostly say terrestrial, right? There is a glory of terrestrial things, and there is a glory of heavenly things. And when you take the two, right, one isn't comparable with the other. Like, you can't even compare them. I mean, you could look at them both if you wanted to, but they're not comparable. Like, and so it is in our lives, right? Like, if you put your heart on that which is heavenly and eternal, You're not going to look at the earthly and then compare it to it. You're going to look at that which is heavenly and glorious and good on the inside of you, and you're just going to stay there, just thinking about the good, and man, that's right, right? But so I think a lot of times when he says, you know, not that they're not worthy to compare, but they're not comparable, you just know in your heart when you're looking at eternal things, I don't even want to look at things that are earthly. I don't even want to think that way anymore, right? I'll read both verses to you. Romans chapter 8, and verse number 18. Let's just go there real quick. Romans 8 and 18. It says, "For I reckon or consider..." Reckon always sounds a little bit, like, it doesn't even sound King James, it sounds like a little country, I reckon, you know, but anyway. It says, "For I consider, I reckon that the sufferings," this is AKJV, King James would be just as close, but I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with, and really, the word worthy is actually not even there. So it's not worthy to be compared. If you really look at the word that's there and you click on the word worthy, if you were looking at a Strong's, it really just says not comparable, right? So it's a cool thing to read that appropriately, that the sufferings of this present time are not comparable to the glory which shall be revealed in us. So it's a really good thing. I'm not going to get into it, but it's a good thing to see that that's just talking about, right, that which will be manifest, that which is being manifest now, and that which will be manifest fully, right, when our knowledge is full. But the cool thing is that it is bringing our minds, right, to that is on the inside of us, to the glory that we have. So it says, it's not to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So that's just a really good, easy verse, just as a reminder to us, right, that it's not comparable. The things that you're going through can't compare with the truth of who you are and what you have, and the quicker that you set your eyes there on that which is heavenly, the quicker that your brain is just straightened out, right? You begin to think appropriate thoughts, right? The second verse that I was going to show you, it's 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4, hello, 4:16. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man," right, our mind, our heart, "yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," right, so that's the temporary part, right? Anything that you're going through now, your circumstance is temporal, right? And it's not the idea of, oh, it's just going to be short, so let me just suffer through it. No, it's that the point is that it's temporal. It's subject to change, right? It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works," and I believe the right way to look at that would be it works out for us. But anyway, "it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal." There's the unchanging, right? Eternal weight of glory. So our light affliction, which is temporary, is working out of us, right, for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It says, and then verse 18, it's a good thing. I mean, this kind of goes with what we were just saying. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen," so in not fixing your eyes on the circumstance, the thing, the temporary thing, right, but "while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." And then the explanation is clear: "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So we don't yet see ourselves fully manifest, all the glory that we have in us manifest outwardly. But the fact that we do can set our eyes on Jesus and know, be reminded again of who we are and what we have and what we possess, and not looking at temporal circumstances, that means obviously less right to no stress in our lives, right? Really looking at, I just remembered, and maybe it's applicable, I just kind of say it, because we were talking about eternal and temporal things. This one guy called into this program, and I had actually sent the little thing out there to several of you, but this one guy calls into the program, into this program about financial things, and he says, you know, I just, you know, I'm in a good place. I have paid off my mortgage. I've paid off all my bills, so he has no debt, and he has his house is paid off, and he kind of says, you know, just, you know, writing like checks to charity or whatever, or to my church, or, you know, he says that's just a check, and he's kind of saying, kind of like he's lost his motivation, kind of in living, like he's not just motivated. He says, you know, if you're working to pay off a mortgage, you know, that's your motivation. But it's funny, you get wrapped up in all these temporary things, right? And the answer that the man gave him was, he said, congratulations, he said to him, you have found out, he said, that money is not the secret to happiness, right? But it's so funny because if people obviously really knew that it is not, there are no temporal things, that whether they're difficult circumstances or whether they're conceived as good things, right? Or perceived, I should say, not conceived, but perceived as good things that you're looking at, that none of those things can either make you happy, and none of those things really, even if they're happening negatively, right, can change who you are, can in one iota. Like, nothing that happens to you changes whether you're prosperous or not, right? You still have the power to wealth on the inside of you, regardless of what's happening or regardless what your bank says, right? So it's not denying that you have no money. It's just that nothing that happens to you can deny the power to wealth that you possess, right? So it's just a cool thing to remember, getting our eyes off of those things that are temporal, getting our eyes on those things that are heavenly. And it's a cool thing because as we come, right, and we're gathered today and we're listening to, right, we're here this time and we're listening to the preaching later on, or we're worshiping the Lord together, you value things that bring you back to the remembrance of who I am, right? Reminding you who you are, what you have, getting your eyes off of the stuff, right, that's temporal and of this world. And you know what? Sooner than later, we'll become people that just walk like that all the time, right? Regularly, always looking at heavenly things, always having our mind on Christ, always remembering who we are, right? Even throughout your day, same mindset, same thing, right? Whether people say good things to you or bad things, it doesn't change a thing, right? It doesn't change who you are, what you have.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.